Father God, we're so grateful, Lord, that you've given us your word. It's not there just to entertain us, Lord, but it's there to instruct us and to show us the way that you want us to live, Lord. We bless you for your truth. It tells things as they are, Lord. And we pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, and we may not just be hearers of your word, but livers of it, Lord. In that sense, Lord, that it's not just done out of duty, but Lord, we live to please you because you've loved us so much. So I pray you'll bless us, Lord, and help us to discover more of your grace and your mercy as we call upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Judges chapter 15 we've arrived at now, isn't it? We're making reasonable progress here, it would seem. Right. You remember, Samson got married last week, but it didn't quite happen. So this is where we pick it up. Chapter 15 of Judges. Later on, at the time of the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. Well, the term wife is a bit of a technical term there. Yes. But it's the time of year, later on, at the time of the wheat harvest, which is?
May, June,
yes, it's the sort of summertime when the harvest is ripe. The wheat's ready to be harvested, okay? So that time of year, when the birds are singing, the sun is up, it's all looking very nice, then he takes a young goat. Why does he take a young goat?
To kill it.
Well, he may not kill it, actually. It's a gift. Right. What would you do if you got a young goat as a gift? Well, there you are. In agricultural communities, you see, a goat is quite a valuable thing, you know. Yes. They do goats in India, don't they?
Yeah.
It's a gift.
Milk if it's female.
Particularly if it's female, milk, yes. Yeah. And more youngsters as well in the course of time. Why is he taking a gift?
To reconcile.
Peace offering. Yes. So it is, yes. Try and get on their good side with a nice gift, you know. That's what it's about. It's nice to be nice, isn't it? So that's what he's doing, yes. So he arrives there and he says, I'm going to my wife's room. So she had her quarters next to Dad's, right? It's Father's home, but she's got her own little patch as well. I'm going to my wife's room. But her father would not let him go in. Right. So that's a bit of a problem then, isn't it? He thinks he's married to her, but he didn't know the next bit. He says, verse 2, I was so sure that you thoroughly hated her, that I gave her to your young friend, to your friend. Yeah? I was so sure that you didn't like her that I've married her off to somebody else. It's nice, eh? Right? But what about this?
The best man.
To the best man, yes. What about this for the next line? Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead.
Oh, goodness.
That's nice, isn't it? Yeah? That's how you treat your daughters. Well, he wants to sell them off. I'll get rid of them. I said, but well, that's what it is. Yeah. So he's basically saying, look, she's nice. Have her. Dear me. This is Philistine. Well, it's not just Philistine behaviour, but they were... What's that, the rest? Sorry?
It happens today
in Africa, yes. We sponsor a young lad in Kenya. And... found out recently, Jean wrote to the people who were involved with this, and he's got several brothers, right, and he had a sister, but his dad, they're Maasai by the way, his dad sold the sister. How about that? So the little fella's heartbroken, mother was really heartbroken. Well, they do that sort of trick, so it's nothing new, here it is. So, have the sister instead, right, but Samson is not pleased. Right, so he says, Samson said to them, this time I have a right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them. So his anger's up, he's rather upset about it all. And God's using this for him to aggravate the Philistines. That's what it's about, behind the scenes. But Samson got all upset over this, you know. Was he right to get upset?
No.
I don't think he was. But God's using it, yeah, we know that. But, you know... Do you get upset because it doesn't all go your way?
Yes,
I do. But yeah.
He never completed his marriage, did he?
Well, no, that's right. That's what he came back for. Yeah, the marriage wasn't consummated, so he thought, this is time, bring a present, get it all sorted out. Happy all day long. But it didn't work out. Such is life. It never always works out right, you notice that.
He wasn't okay. In touch with his friend very much, was he?
Well, no, but that's...
He didn't have a mobile phone.
Yes, yes. Media was a bit different in those days. So, he's upset, right? And so he says, I'll really harm them. So he went out and caught 300 foxes. Now then, what's wrong with that?
Difficult.
It's difficult. It's impossible.
They're not foxes.
They're not foxes. No. Foxes live on their own mostly. Yes? No. They don't go in big packs. What's the word?
Jackals.
Jackals or sort of coyote type things, yes. They do go in packs. But he still had a job getting 300. I suspect he got some friend on the job as well, or a few, yeah. But he catches all these animals, and then what does he do? He says, then he fastened, or he tied their tails together in pairs. Right? Well, you're feeling very sorry for these jackals now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right? He ties their tails together, and then what does he do? Then he fastened a torch to every pair of tails. And when he says torch, he doesn't mean batteries.
Yeah, it's
burning things, yes, burning flame. He lit the torches and let the foxes loose in the standing corn of the Philistines. Remember, it's harvest time, just about ready to get the nice, and it's dry. Harvest time, you gather in when it's the sun's been up, it's all nice and dry, ready to harvest, yeah? And he gets these jackals, he gets them tied together by their tails, and then puts a torch on that. And what's the point of getting two jackals together?
Well, because
they won't go in one direction. They won't run into the woods or anywhere else, but they'll just get pulled all over the place, yeah? So it's zigzag, maximum damage. That's the idea, right? So, what happens is, he burned up the shocks and standing corn together with the vineyards and olive groves. That was a serious fire he set off, wasn't it? I used to like making fires when I was a boy. Yeah, do like making fires. You don't get a chance, do you? No. You know. We used to grow up with fires in Yorkshire. We had the coal fires every day.
Yeah.
Right. As a young boy, I decided to make a coal fire with the paper and the sticks and bits of coal on top of the living room carpet. Fortunately, I didn't do any more damage than burn a hole in the carpet, but I could have burnt the house down. Stupid, eh? See, that's me. Anyway, he wasn't playing games. He was trying to destroy, and he did a very effective job. Right. So.
I'm telling him not to get ideas.
Don't get ideas. No, no.
That's what they did.
Yes. Just because I did it doesn't mean to say it's the wise thing to do. No. And this wasn't a clever idea, really, but he's destroying everything. And that would effectively hamper the Philistines, because it's their food for the year.
Yeah.
Right? So he's giving them a real bashing here. Right, so, when the Philistines asked who did it, they were told, Samson, the Timnite's son-in-law, because his wife was given to his friend. Isn't it amazing how the news gets around?
Yeah.
So you save social media, but they seem to find out everything. So they ask, who did it? And sure enough, the name Samson comes back. And the reason is because he was upset because of what happened with his wife. Right.
One of them,
yes. Yeah. So, the Philistines went up and burned her and her father to death. Right, they're vicious lot, yeah? Right. And the sad thing is, and it really is a very sad thing about this, you remember how Samson had made up that little riddle, mm-hmm. and they couldn't guess what it was,
yeah.
And then he told his wife to be, and she betrayed him.
Yeah.
And why did she betray him? I mean, the pressure was on. What did the people at the party, the wedding feast, say? If you don't tell us, we'll burn your house down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So she betrayed him. And what happens is?
They burn
the house down. Terrible, isn't it? Yeah. So, that's how they treat people. Life's cheap, I'm afraid. That's how it is, yeah? So, what happens then? Samson said to them, since you've acted like this, I won't stop until I get my revenge on you. How about that? So he's really upset now. So he says, I'm going to fix you lot. I'll have a go at you. Samson's a strange creature, isn't he? He's acting out of self-interest, self-motives, self...
Do you know why? Because he's got away with everything.
He has got away with everything, just about
him. No one can...
No, can't stop him, yeah. So he's doing... I think he's acting out of the strange motives, but God's using it for him to put the brakes on the Philistines. Yeah? So, he decides he's going to get even with them, right? So... He attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. Right, so he sets to and starts beating them up and killing them. And after that, he doesn't tell us how many, but he had a good go, didn't he? Then he went down and stayed in a cave in the rock of Etam, wherever that is. He went down, so he's going downhill in the into the lower areas of the country, yeah? And he stays at this cave, yeah, there. In his own business, I suppose, just passing the time. Anyway, the Philistines went up and camped in Judah, spreading out near Lehi. And the men of Judah asked, why have you come to fight us? So one day, in the area of Judah, which is near where Samson was, the Philistines turn up as a big mass of army, yeah? And they spread out. Why are they spreading out?
So they can't get away.
They're finding him, they don't know where he is. They're looking for him, right? So they've got scouts out, they're moving around trying to find out where Samson is. That's the idea. Right, they've come to get him. They've come to get him. Right, the men of Judah ask, why have you come to fight us? Right, so here are the men of Judah, and they're asking the Philistines, what's the problem? Why are you giving us grief? And it says, we've come to take Samson prisoner, they answered. To do to him as he did to us. That's revenge again, isn't it? They're all at it. You start one thing off, it keeps going. Yeah. This is Middle East politics, by the way, friends. I hope you realise this. This is how it works in the Middle East, and probably in other parts of the world as well. Yeah. You eventually forget who started it, it's just you do the next turn. Yeah. So they'll do to them what they did to them, which they'll do to them, which they did to them. And so it goes on and on. Yeah. So the Philistines are going to have a go for Samson, and they say, we've come to do to him, right? Then 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave in the rock of Etam, so they know where he is, and they said to Samson, don't you realise that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us? How about that? Now then, what's your opinion about that phrase there? Don't you realise the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us?
They were frightened of the Philistines.
They don't trust him, no. But remember, God's raised up Samson as a judge, as a leader in Israel. And what are the men of Judah doing?
Judging him.
They're rejecting him. Yeah? They're saying, we're the Philistine servants. You can't go around upsetting them. Yeah? You're looking for support from your brothers, aren't you? Yeah? These are fellow Jews, you know. And just think about it. If you read the first chapter of the book of Judges, when he talks about who's to go up and fight the enemy in the land of Canaan, in Joshua's time, who was the tribe that was to go up and do the first bit of fighting? Judah! They were the fighters. They were the men. Well, by the time we get to Samson, they're wimps. They've rolled over. Yeah. Useless. That's believers for you, isn't it? Well, listen to what they say. I mean, this gets worse. It gets worse, yeah? Right. Don't you realise the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us? He answered, I merely did to them what they did to me.
Revenge.
Fair enough, yeah. They said to him, we've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines. That's nice. What they say is, we won't kill you, we'll let them do it for you. That's what they're saying. Yeah. We won't kill you, we'll tie you up and let them have you, you know. Right. Very nice. This is support, yeah? It's not support at all. That's terrible. But I must warn you, brothers and sisters, you know, Sometimes Christians can be your worst enemies, it seems to me. Yeah. Yeah. Those who are supposed to be backing you up have got their knives ready.
Yeah. Well, what's Samson done for that?
God's raised him up, he's upsetting the Philistines. He's supposed to be releasing them from the Philistines, isn't he? Previous judges have done that. When the judges did something spectacular.
Well, he's killed a lot of Philistines.
Yes.
But they don't like it.
What? The Philistines don't like it?
The
Judah. The Judah didn't like it because they're wimps. They've laid up. They've rolled over. They, previous judges, God raised up to set them free from their troubles. Right? This lot are happy with the Philistines. It's not good.
It also shows that the Israelites are living in harmony. The Philistines are accepting their culture and their
ways. That's their way. Yeah, we'll go along with it, yes. Yeah. It's only later on when Samuel comes and stirs them all up.
It's that, like having Trump as your leader, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know about that. But
Samson went around causing trouble left, right and centre.
Well, maybe he's good. He's causing good trouble. He says God raised him up in order to cause problems for the Philistines. Philistines are not friends.
But his motivation was his own
decision. Oh, I know that, yes. He's not a leader, that's his problem. He's not really a leader of men, he's the loner.
Yeah, but he's working God's purposes, being a selfish.
Yes, I know. Strange, isn't it? Well, God moves in mysterious ways, is all I can say. Yeah, God can use some very funny people. Just as well, he uses us, isn't it? Yeah? I've said this.
So is he blessing the vision, sir? Because he's working out God's purposes.
He's working out God's purposes, completely contrary to what God wanted him to be. Because God wanted him to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God.
Yeah.
He would have been a right leader, a proper leader. Instead, he's doing his own thing, and yet God still uses him.
Do it my way.
He's not doing it on purpose.
He's not doing it for God's purpose, he's doing it for himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a shame, yeah. But I say this, this is an important lesson. God can hit straight with bent sticks. Yeah. God can use inappropriate materials to do his work, which is just as well. Anyway, on with Samson. They're going to tie him up and hand him over. That's really nice of them, yes? So, where is it? Samson said, "Swear to me that you won't kill me yourselves." Yeah?
He didn't want that, right?
He didn't want them killing him.
It's funny that he accepts it.
Sorry?
It's funny that he accepts it.
Now, I think this is one of the most, in the whole of Samson's career, one of the most noble things he does. He could have smashed them, you know. Yeah. He was perfectly capable of doing them, as like he did the Philistines. But he voluntarily offers himself up. He's a sort of a picture of the Messiah. In this vague moment, yeah, when he comes out good, Samson is willing to let himself die in order to protect them. These wimps, these miserable Judah people, yeah. Anyway, that's grace, I guess. So he says, don't you do it. Don't kill me yourselves. Agreed, they answered. We will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will only. I mean, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah,
they're great. Yeah. Isn't it nice? They're willing to hand him over for being killed, just as long as they don't get blamed for it. Great. Right, so we will not kill you. So they bound him with two new ropes and led him up from the rock. So why new ropes? What's good about new ropes? They're stronger.
Yeah.
They're more supple. They don't. You know, when something dries out, it gets fragile. It can crack easier.
Yeah.
So the new ropes haven't dried out completely in that sense. So they're much more strong. Yeah. So, and two, just to make sure, yeah, that he doesn't escape. So they fasten him up very nicely and lead him out. Yep. So what happens then? As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came towards him shouting. Right. The Philistines, the Jews, the Israelites, are leading Samson towards the Philistines, and the Philistines see him coming and they start running towards him and they're shouting. What are they shouting?
We've got him.
We've got him! Yes! We've got him! Ah, wonderful. Right? Yes? And interestingly, it's what you call rather premature. We have a phrase in English. Don't skin a cat.
chickens
before. Oh, don't count your chickens before you hatch. Before they hatch, that's one, right? Yeah. They have one in Russia, I believe. Don't skin a bear until you've caught it. No. Yeah. Right. Same idea. Yes. Yeah. They are boasting about what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. It's the world. Yeah. And they're going to find out it doesn't work that way. So, as a result of their all boasting and getting all fired up, the effect on Samson is the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. Oh, yes. Right, yes. So God's intervening at this stage. Isn't that amazing? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax. Right? Charred flax. Have you seen charred flax? It's a burnt rope, basically. It's just, you burn it, it's turning almost to ash. Yeah, I mean, it's gone. So, there's the strength that God gave him, just to break these ropes. Fantastic, eh? That's strength. God's power. Right? So, the ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. And I'd love to have seen their faces. Yeah. Right, we've got him! Oh no, we haven't. Right? Okay, so they thought they'd got him, but they hadn't. It says, finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Yes. Finding the fresh jawbone of a donkey. Now, there's a good one. What's important about it being a fresh jawbone for a start, before we get to the other details?
It's so strong, isn't it?
Yeah. Something dried breaks easy. Mm-hmm. Yes. So a fresh jawbone is still flexible. It's not going to break in his hands. Yes. But the thing that strikes me as really, really interesting is what Samson's doing is he's finding the first thing he gets to hand as a weapon. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's almost like
foot. Shouldn't have been to ask. How did the jawbone of a donkey get there?
Yeah, okay.
The donkey walked there.
The donkey walked there and died on the spot. It might have done, I don't know.
God put it there.
In Samaria.
How were they? Right, so they were eating donkeys, so maybe they killed one and left a bit of the head there. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Whatever it was, I'd like to suggest God planted it.
Yeah.
One way or another, I mean, it may be, you know, that it just... Someone had done it and they just thought, we'll dump it here. It's a good place to dump rubbish.
Right place.
It was the right place. Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of that. It's a little joke. It's not a joke, really, but it is in a way. About the old lady who went into... She was really quite poor and she was out of food. And the cupboard was bare, so she goes into the little church nearby and kneels down at the front and starts praying, "Oh Lord, send me some food. I need some bread. Please, Lord, I need something just to eat." And there's a couple of young lads in the back. They thought, tell you what, let's have a joke. Have a little trick on it, shall we? We'll nip round the corner shop and buy a loaf. Yeah. Right, so they pop round the corner shop, bought a loaf, and there she is when they're still praying there when they come back. And she, "Oh Lord, I need some bread." And so these lads, they get this loaf and throw it. And it lands over her head right in front of her. And she looks at it, "Oh Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for this bread, that's wonderful." And then the two lads pop up their heads. "Yes, silly old fool, that wasn't the Lord, that was us." And she turned to them. "I don't care if the devil himself brought it, I know who sent it." Yes. Right, so a jawbone happens to be in just the right place when Samson's in a tight corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's God. Yeah. Right, so he picks up this jawbone and belts the lot of them. 1,000. My goodness me.
That takes some doing.
Right, that takes some doing, yeah. So, now then, what happens then? I've lost the page, it's turned over. Right, here we are. Samson said, yes, I don't think he said it straight away, but he says, he makes up a poem. Yes, "With a donkey's jawbone, I've made donkeys of them." He does a play on the words. I mean, our English translation is trying to pick up that play, yeah?
Yeah.
"I've made donkeys out of them with a donkey's jawbone. With a donkey's jawbone, I've killed 1,000 men. So, the NIV's made it into a little poem, which is what it is. Yeah, so, Samson makes a little poem to celebrate the victory. Yeah? Right? One problem with the poem. There's one problem with the poem. Who's the subject of the sentence?
I.
Yeah, that's Samson's problem, isn't it? Yeah. Right? God's going to teach him a little lesson, right? Because it says, when he'd finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramath Lehi, which means, if you read this margin, it means Jawbone Hill. How about that? It was called Jawbone Hill after he did it, not before. Yeah, that's the name of the place after what happened, yeah? Right. Because he was thirsty, very thirsty, so I mean, having a fight with 1,000 Philistines is thirsty work. Right? So he's desperate for a drink, right? So because he was very thirsty, he cried out to the Lord, "You have given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" That's a reference to the Philistine again, yeah? Okay. So, what's happening to him? He's humbled. Yeah, he's suddenly realizing he doesn't have all the strength that he thought he had. Right? Now he's dying of thirst. He realizes he better ask God to help him.
Yeah, so he knows that he does have a relationship with God.
He can talk to God, yes. He does, some sort, yes. It's a funny one, though, isn't it? Yeah. It's, we have a relationship with God when he suits us, it would seem,
wouldn't
it? God
looks after him too, doesn't he? Because he'll put the dumb
God's looking after him, yes. That's true. Yeah. And obviously, he's got that idea. God's looking after him. So he's talking to the Lord. Good to pray. Yeah. So, must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? Then God opened up a hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. The word Lehi means jawbone, and some interpreters have said that there was a water started spouting out of the jawbone. That's not what it means. The place is called Lehi. And do you know what happened in the time of Moses? When the Israelites were very thirsty, cried out for water, water came out of the rock. There are water-bearing rocks around there. Yes?
Oh, okay.
Yeah? And God knows which ones are which. And he can break them open to provide the water. It's miraculous, yeah? It's got to be God, because Samson would have died of thirst otherwise. But God, it says, opens up this little fountain, effectively, for him, a little streamlet, yeah? God opened up a hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. How about that? That was a quick answer to prayer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, God must love Samson. Yeah. Strange, isn't it? How God cares for us, even when we aren't quite as good as we could be, yeah?
Well, that's so, why he died for us, then.
That's why he died for us, that's right, yes. So, when Samson drank, his strength returned and he revived. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you ever been really thirsty and had a drink of lovely cold water?
Yeah.
You can't beat it. It's, well, thank God for it when you get some, yeah? Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Yeah, so he appreciates the water, at least, yeah? So he has this drink. And so the spring was called En Hakore, right? En means well. Hakore means the caller. Well of the caller. Caller, sorry.
Ah,
yes?
Caller
spring, you can call it, yeah? Mm-hmm. So that's, it's called by what happened. Often events in the Bible get marked as with a name, yeah. And there's just one little lesson I'd like to bring out of this, and it's this: when God does something special for you, give it a name. What I mean by that is make a note of that in some way or another. I don't keep a diary; I used to, but I don't now. But you know, write down some of the things that God's done for you. I remember many years ago. This was before I became a pastor. My pastor said to me, he says, when God was calling me to the ministry, he says, write down the things that God showed you that have led you to where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
He says, because the time will come when you can look back at that and say, it wasn't me, it was God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he was right. And I did that. Yes, mm-hmm. I actually listened to the advice of my pastor. It was a rare event, isn't it? Yeah. But, yeah. And yeah. I can look, I mean, because I wrote it down, I can remember it, of course. And you look back and you say, yeah, that was God at work. And so what Samson's done is he made, and Abraham did that all the time. When he built a well, he gave it a name. Yeah, a reminder that it's where God blessed me. This is what God did. So I'm just encouraging you to do that. When God's done something good, make a note. Yeah, it's easy to take things for granted. Yeah. So he calls it that, yeah. And it's still there in Lehi. Yes, the well's still there in Lehi. Is it there now?
Must be, is it? Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
I'm just asking the question. Right?
Where Pastor
Lehigh now? I've no idea. Don't know. Well, what he's telling us is that the chap that wrote this story, who wrote it later, in his day, the well was still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically what he's saying. Is he may not be there now, but when he wrote the book of Judges, it was there.
He might have left it there
to serve
the people.
Well, it might have, yes. God provides, yes. Yeah. Okay. And then lastly, we have this one verse here. And Samson led Israel, or judged, that's the other word for it. Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. He led Israel. He judged Israel. Well, Israel wasn't very responsive, is all I can say, was it?
Yeah.
I mean, when they turned him over to the Philistines. But this is just one event. It must be for the next few years. Things seems to go fairly peacefully by all accounts. I don't know whether he was aggravating Philistines for the next 20 years or not. I don't know. But that's what we've looked at here, are the opening chapters in Samson's time. The next chapter leads us to the end of his time as a judge. Right? And the middle bit, you have to fill in for yourself. Yeah. But it was part of what God's plan for him was to be aggravation to the Philistines. Strange man. And next week, it's even stranger.
He's a very naughty man.
Really naughty man, but you'll have to wait till then. You're not allowed to read ahead. You'll have to wait. Okay. So, famous one this, but it's sad, so sad. Let's pray. Father, thank you for for Samson's willingness to offer himself. Lord, that's one bright spot in this terribly sad story, Lord, of families getting burnt to death, Lord, people massacring others, Lord, it's an awful situation, but Lord, we come to you and thank you, Lord Jesus, that in the mess of life, you bring out these moments of blessing. Lord, there's just the right jawbone there when Samson needed some protection, Lord. Lord, there's just the right amount of water there when he was thirsty. Lord, you are the provider, and you care for us just as you care for him. And Lord, you heard his prayer. Lord, he could ask you, and you heard and answered. Lord, well, we're in the similar boat to Samson so often, Lord. We go our own way, we do our own thing, and then ask you to help when it gets difficult. But we bless you, Lord. You're not willing to leave us to ourselves. We thank you for your mercy. And just praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.